No one disputes the fact that Wilbert Rideau killed a woman in 1961 on a rainy night in Lake Charles, Louisiana, not even Rideau himself. But this week, he was in court for the fourth time, hoping a jury might set him free. Rideau has spent 44 years in jail, becoming a prize-winning prison journalist, and he says he has served his time. As NPR's Laura Sullivan reports, the town of Lake Charles remembers Rideau's crime and is divided about his request to be released.
Wilbert Rideau is a household name here in the muggy bayous of southwest Louisiana. Rideau was a black man who killed a white woman. 1961 was a time when blacks lived separately from whites on separate sides of this small town, built on the back of sawmills, slavery, and oil. Those old enough to remember the crime have had a hard time forgetting what happened.
It really rained that night. I mean, it poured down.
Harvey Boyd was deputy sheriff. The night unfolded quickly. A call went out that 19-year-old Rideau had walked into a local bank, kidnapped its three well-known employees, shot them, and left them for dead on the side of a road. Two survived. One woman, shot and stabbed, her throat cut from one end to the other, died at the scene. Boyd found the knife the next morning.
We walked back and forth in the area trying to find the gun and the knife. Well, the sun came out a little that morning and reflected off of the blade of that knife. I saw it glitter in the bushes.
Deputy Sheriff Billy Smith was 21 at the time.
It was clear who done it due to the fact that he was known to begin with. That left no doubt in anybody's mind. And the people here wanted to see that he faced justice and that he paid his dues for it.
Wilbert Rideau was tried twice for murder before 1970. Each time, the conviction was overturned. The third conviction stuck until 2000, when an appellate court overturned it again. The court told the state to retry him or release him. Rideau's attorneys are now hoping the jury will find him guilty of manslaughter rather than first-degree murder, which means he will be released for time served. Over the past 44 years, Rideau became a self-educated journalist, co-editing the award-winning prison magazine The Anglelite and producing a documentary that was nominated for an Oscar. In 1990, he helped put together a portrait on life in Angola Prison in Louisiana that aired on NPR.
This prison has a history unlike any other. In the 1950s, it was officially labeled the worst prison in the country.
His accomplishments, though, have meant little to those still pained by his crime. In the heart of town, the majestic barber shop sits on Pujo Street. It's been here since 1906. Most talk these days comes back to the Rideau case. Ronald Guillory owns the shop.
There you go.
I've had a crick in my neck. Oh, man, is that going to cost me any extra?
About $20.
Oh, well,
but I'll just put
that's
it on
all right.
I'll just put it on your tab.
Just put it on the bill.
How can a man kidnap three people, take them out in the woods, shoot them all, cut one with a knife, slit one's throat where her head almost fell off when a coroner picked it up, and that's not murder? I have a hard time with that one. What is murder?
Just around the corner outside the courthouse, State Prosecutor Rick Bryant says Rideau is not done paying for his crime.
I'm a district attorney. I'm not a pardon board. I'm one of those people that feels when you commit murder, you stay in jail till you die.
But black people here and a few white residents point out that Rideau has already served longer than any white man convicted of murder in Louisiana history. Reverend Matt Guillory is part of a coalition of 50 pastors who have come to the courthouse each day to support Rideau.
We're just trying to get equal justice. That's all we're asking for, and that's all we're praying for.
Standing on the steps of the courthouse, Rideau's attorney, George Kendall, says he hopes the jury will see a man rehabilitated. But he says in many ways, Rideau's accomplishments have hurt his chances for release. And they have fueled suspicion that what was supposed to be punishment turned out to be opportunity.
I was speaking to a former warden last week, and he said, you know, had your client just laid low, he would have been out 25 years ago. So what kind of message does that send?
On the night she was killed, Julia Ferguson had a daughter and a 6-year-old granddaughter. Now a middle-aged woman, that granddaughter Beth spoke publicly for the first time to NPR. She asked that her name not be used because the case is so sensitive.
I remember how horrible the night was that we got the news that there had been a robbery at the bank and how we waited to find you know, find out what exactly had happened. And I remember how distraught my mother was.
Beth sits in the courtroom each day, clutching tissues and dabbing tears. It is a courtroom divided on racial lines. White people sit behind the prosecution. Mostly black people sit behind Rito. For the first time ever, Rito took the stand this week. Now 62, with thick glasses and graying hair, he told the jury he didn't mean to kill anyone. He just wanted money. The trial will continue next week when a fourth verdict is expected. Laura Sullivan, NPR News, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
And as Laura Sullivan said, Wilbert Rito narrated a documentary on life in prison for NPR. You can hear that story, as well as other stories by Rito, at our website, npr.org.